Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 141 of Beyond the Supernatural, but not actually. This page continues coverage of the alignment system. We've discussed this material before, and you know what that means. Today we will once again turn from Beyond the Supernatural to delve into the Z-Files, where we will conclude our coverage of the Dark Tribunal by considering the core tribunal itself, the seven members who judge world figures, who orchestrate the global conspiracy, and who have extremely silly names. We'll move through these characters quickly, because there are a number of them to profile, and frankly, a glance is enough, as one would expect from a group of aliens who literally put on Halloween-style Grim Reaper costumes to judge humanity. Subtlety is not the strong suit of the Dark Tribunal aliens. First among the tribunal is Divine Master. Quote, "The Divine Master is the leader and founding member of the Dark Tribunal. Despite his arrogant, abrasive attitude, the Divine Master is loved and admired by the other alien members of the secret society. His experience, wisdom, and aggressive nature have enabled him to build the Tribunal into a formidable international organization. He derives immense sadistic pleasure anytime he is responsible for inflicting pain and suffering upon mankind. The Divine Master sits at the center of his web of intrigue. He rarely leaves the California compound, it says, and when he does, quote, his favorite mode of transportation is his armored stretch limousine, which has $150,000 worth of supercar features. So if you're a GM and you've been looking for a way to involve your investigators in a running battle with an armored stretch limousine, and what Game Master is not, Divine Master is the antagonist for you. Divine Master has the alien powers of energy resistance, which helps him resist damage from all sources of energy, and Divine Aura, which gives him a supernatural aura of charisma and also makes him look taller. Truly, he has the alien power to look taller than he is. Most importantly, as with all of the Dark Tribunal characters, he has aliases. He is most commonly known as Divine Master, but also goes by Divinity, a delightful treat, Judge Divine, a reality show that I am very sad John Waters was never able to produce before Divine's untimely passing, and Mr. Divine, not to be confused with Paul Orndorff or Kurt Hennig. But what is Divine Master's true name, his true alien name from his alien planet? The answer, of course, is Dreadmore Regent. Presumably his powers manifested at birth, and when the doctor delivered this baby who appeared to already be 4 feet tall due to his exceptional charisma, the charismatic child's mother looked at him and said, "I shall call him Dreadmore." Very good, Mrs. Regent. Congratulations on your distinguished-looking child. He's already got gray temples. This is amazing. But even Dreadmore Regent cannot run an entire terrorist organization by himself. For help, he relies upon the Phantom Panther, the, quote, head of terrorism. Quote, "The Phantom Panther is highly individualistic and extremely temperamental, a firecracker ready to explode." An apt metaphor that brings Queen to mind. As a point of interest, like other DT aliens, Phantom Panther uses an anti-gravity harness as a special vehicle and has access to high-tech weaponry, which means that he happens to be A, like a shooting star leaping through the sky, B, like a tiger defying the laws of gravity, C, a racing car passing by like Lady Godiva, D, like a rocket ship on his way to Mars, although the rocket ships are broken right now, E, like a sex machine ready to reload, he has exceptional physical beauty and uses a sniper rifle, and finally, F, as a weapons engineer devoted to the destruction of the human race, he is indisputably like an atom bomb about to explode. I cannot tell you how delighted I am by this multifarious coincidence. Anyway, I got slightly off track there. I will return to my point. Although I do resent you stopping me because I'm having such a good time. Anyway, Phantom Panther is a feline-themed head of terrorism who uses a lot of bombs. As usual for the Dark Tribunal, the most interesting thing about him is his collection of aliases. He is mainly known as Phantom Panther. His true, very alien name is Felix Zapantra. His first name is spelled F-E-L-Y-X-Z, Felix Zapantra. But obviously you can't go around calling yourself Felix Zapantra on Earth, especially when your secret terrorist identity is Phantom Panther. And so, in his day-to-day terrorism business, Phantom Panther goes by the much less suspicious human aliases of Leon Lion and Richard Katz. What a clever ruse. Phantom Panther does also have superpowers, the superpowers of darkness control and multiple lives, completing his extremely comprehensive prenatal feline theme to his entire body, name, and life. Next up in the Dark Tribunal is Gemstone, who is, quote, head of assassinations. Quote, Gemstone is known as a beautiful international fashion model. Gemstone is both her real and professional name. Her exotic looks and seemingly sincere, friendly, and vulnerable nature have attracted the eyes of many rich and influential men. As a result, she can often gain access to other media personalities, other powerful men, and restricted information by using her feminine wiles and charm. While Gemstone does have other powers, as we'll discuss, she leans very heavily on those feminine wiles. Quote, this femme fatale is a master at pretending sympathy and mothering men, and getting a man to discuss his troubles and confide in her. Any information acquired by Gemstone is quickly transferred to the Dark Tribunal. In addition, she often enjoys the company of an influential gentleman alone, without his bodyguards, which makes him an easy target for assassination. Obviously, Gemstone cannot always do the killing herself, or even be present when an assassination occurs. However, she can help create the proper environment for an assassination by gaining prior access to a facility, home, or office, and case firsthand a target's abode. Contrary to the assertion that Gemstone is Gemstone's real name, her true name is Geomanthra, and she sometimes goes by the alias Ruby Red, which is not the low-profile alias that I would choose if I were an internationally famous supermodel called Gemstone, but I'm not head of assassination, so what do I know? Gemstone has Gemstone powers, which, as listeners to the second season will know, is a superpower that grants various different super abilities depending on which gems and other precious stones a character is holding. For example, a character with Gemstone powers can bioregenerate by expending a $50 agate, can use hypnotic suggestion at the cost of a $100 amethyst, and can gain much more impressive powers like the ability to fly or literal invulnerability by expending the power of expensive stones like diamonds. Gemstone is a famous international supermodel with $4 million early 90s dollars in the bank and the connections to borrow jewelry for the sorts of social events where she's likely to facilitate assassinations. With that kind of money and connections to fuel her, she is immensely powerful. Gemstone powers and being rich are two great superpowers that go great together. So the idea that she operates mainly by pretending to be nice to men and getting them to fight her battles is a questionable choice. Next up is Holo, head of espionage. Quote, Holo is an attractive but average-looking woman. She works at fitting into a crowd, never wearing anything overly conspicuous. This inconspicuousness allows her to observe the general human population unnoticed and unrestricted. Holo could live right next door to you and you would never suspect her of being an alien or terrorist. Humans often entrust this, quote, regular girl with many secrets and problems of everyday life. As a result, Holo has an excellent overview of how an average citizen thinks. End quote. At first, this Holo seems nice enough, but in fact, her nefarious strategy of doing lots of emotional labor is all a part of her secret plans. Holo is a spy, and kind of a retail spy. Very hands-on. Quote, Holo has discovered that joining clubs/organizations, health clubs, religious organizations, volunteer programs, and singles groups, as well as subscribing to various mainstream and underground publications, can provide her with a great deal of important contacts and information. Yes, she is the head of espionage for a global conspiracy who operates by joining health clubs, putting out singles ads, and subscribing to mainstream publications. Many is the day when the divine master has peeked into Holo's office to find her reading Good Housekeeping and said, excuse me, what are you working on, Holo? And she has said, espionage, divine master. Can't you see I am investigating mainstream publications? I think I shall make this casserole. Holo's goal in her information gathering is, of course, to facilitate the Dark Tribunal's mission of putting humanity on trial person by person. Quote, this information enables Holo to track, locate, and choose what organizations and individuals should be brought to trial before the Dark Tribunal. Once a suspected criminal is brought to Holo's attention, Holo will personally record the criminals in the act. If successful, Holo will be able to bring a strong case before the Dark Tribunal. So with the information that she gains from online dating, going to the gym, and reading magazines, Holo identifies members of the human race who should not be permitted to live. She then records them doing something bad, and then takes them before the rest of the Dark Tribunal for judgment. Now, I say record. Holo has no particular surveillance skills, no particular stealth skills. However, she does look like a regular but attractive girl, so she has that going for her, and she can spy using a sort of brute force method enabled by her superpowers. Holo has the superpower of holographic memory projection, which enables her to, after she has seen something, project a hologram of the events for others to witness, so anything she sees, she can record. And in order to see evil people doing evil things, while she does lack stealth, she has the power of extraordinary speed. So she can't sneak up on an evil CEO or a criminal kingpin exactly. She can run up to them real fast while they're doing something bad, take a quick holographic eyeball photo of them in the act, and then run away real fast. No doubt leaving them puzzled about who that beautiful, plain-looking girl was who ran into the room real quick and then ran away. over the next couple of days before they are kidnapped for judgment by the tribunal. In keeping with this trend of extreme sophistication and espionage, Holo goes by the aliases Spymaster and Miss Holly Graham, but her true alien name is Holo Varna. Her name can't just be Holo, said someone at the Palladium offices. That would be stupid. It has to be something that sounds real, like Holo Varna. Moving on. Next up is Plexor, head of recruitment for the Dark Tribunal. Quote, if anyone can convince a non-human to enlist or at least sympathize with the Dark Tribunal, it's Plexor. He can tell stories that will make you burst into tears with laughter or sadness. Plexor has a special talent for finding what makes a person tick and knowing what buttons to push to get his way. Plexor's diplomatic and negotiating powers are incredible, and he will often play one or more forces against the other. As you can tell, Plexor is boring. His bio goes on to describe the way that he loves to adapt to other cultures. He's a real people person. Plexor doesn't like to fight, doesn't get angry, and is otherwise unbearably boring. Even his aliases are bad. Quote, many uses common first and last names, such as John Green, Bill Smith, Ron Brown, Ed Jones, etc. Perhaps the best thing about this character is that he represents at least one sane man in an organization where Phantom Panther is trying to cover his terrorism tracks using the assumed name Leon Lion, and the Master Assassin Gemstone is signing into a hotel to do her assassination as Ruby Red. Meanwhile, here's Plexor dealing with all this fake documentation, just gently nudging them. Listen, Phantom Panther, how about Dave Johnson? What, couldn't you just be Dave Johnson when you're buying explosives for your next terrorist scheme?
Quiet, Plexor, meow. I've already purchased the explosives, meow. Or rather, they were sold to one Tony Tiger, meow.
Plexor just shakes his head. Anyway, other than the fact that he has to deal with the rest of these weirdos, there's nothing interesting about Plexor. He has the alien ability to transform himself into multiple beings so that he can be boring simultaneously across the globe, and his true alien name is Moltrax Plexora. Moving on from Plexor, thank God, we reach the final of the DT Tribunal, the Grand Inquisitor, who is, quote, chief medical officer and torturer. I would perhaps keep separate offices for those two things. That's just a worrying plaque to have on your office door. The Grand Inquisitor defies summary, an interesting figure to say the least. First of all, he looks like an anthropomorphic crocodile for no reason, unlike the rest of the Dark Tribunal aliens, who appear basically human. Secondly, the Grand Inquisitor lost his family in the initial crash that created the Dark Tribunal, and therefore hates humans. An odd detail to append to the backstory when we all hate humans here. The Grand Inquisitor just loves to torture. Not even like a freak maker or a Dr. Farrell, as we've discussed briefly in other Z-Files. The Grand Inquisitor needs to torture. He needs it like a toddler in line at the supermarket needs one of those diabolically placed impulse buy candy bars right at checkout. Quote, whenever he goes more than several weeks without a really good torture, experiment on a human subject, or murder, he behaves like an irrational lunatic, ranting, raving, sobbing, smashing, and throwing things, and having temper tantrums. Six human-looking, albeit eccentric, aliens devoted to the subtle manipulation of Earth culture, assassination, espionage, recruitment, and one anthropomorphic crocodile man doctor who, if he doesn't get to torture people, throws his dishes when you try to feed him lunch and starts crying and pounding his fist on the table and saying, torture now, torture now. A bizarre scenario with bizarre results. Quote, the madman's most recent brainstorm is to transform humans into monsters rather than torturing or killing them. This has led to continuing experiments in altering their genetic structure, mutation, and the monster transformation. This is precisely counter to the ideology of the Dark Tribunal. This is a global conspiracy of, in some cases, one-of-a-kind weirdos, united only by the underlying ethos that humanity is to be judged because of mistreatment of non-human intelligent beings, including human mutants created by unethical experimentation. But also we have a department that does unethical creation of human mutants through experimentation. The Z-Files point out that the Doctor is truly deranged. He sometimes sends recordings of his experimentation and torture to the friends and family of his victims. So he is, in a sense, the Riddler of the group, while everyone else is engaged in high-stakes international espionage and infiltration. He is sending VHSs of identifiable humans being tortured to death by a crocodile man just out into the world. But he is allowed to continue his work because he was once a very good doctor, and he remains a caring healer and physician to non-human patients, including presumably those who he made non-human through unethical experimentation. Also, quote, when the doctor is not occupied with healing non-humans or tormenting humans, he enjoys astronomy and observing and studying nature. Interesting. An astronomy buff, you say? Good to know. It's nice to give the character a quirk so that he's not just another emotionally disturbed crocodile vivisectionist. The Grand Inquisitor has the superpowers of control others, which is mind control, and also a natural healing factor. He goes into both surgery and battle with a, quote, surgical short sword. He is 11th level, and in addition to going by the Grand Inquisitor, he also goes by the name the Dread Impaler. But the true name of this frightening doctor, known only to his closest friends, is Droctra Scary. Yes, that's right, Droctra Scary. That's S-C-A-R-R-I-E, Scary. Droctra Scary, crocodile teeth. That has to be the end of this episode. There's nowhere else to go from Droctra Scary. Wait. I tell a lie. I have to briefly tell you one thing about the Dark Tribunal's head of security, Quo. Another alien. He's a tall, burly, immensely strong individual who goes by the aliases Quentin Strong and Harold Mann. Yes, that's right, Harry Mann. But Quo's real name is Quarash Thorash. I am absolutely in love with the Dark Tribunal aliens as individual antagonists for Beyond the Supernatural campaign. I won't belabor it. There's no reason to do so. It's apparent that these are perfect antagonists, especially encountered one by one, sort of a video game or Kill Bill style, where investigators encounter a global alien conspiracy and then one by one track down its members engaged in different things. Each one presents a different kind of challenge. For the most part, their powers are plausible as alien powers in the context of Beyond the Supernatural. Many of them are reasonably close to psionic powers. For example, the Grand Inquisitor, aka Droctra Scary, has mind control and a healing factor, which both have psionic versions in Beyond the Supernatural. Gemstone can get psionic powers from her gemstones in addition to her more outlandish abilities. Holo's holographic projection ability, Divine Master's divine charisma, all those things work as psionic abilities, and so could be included in a Beyond the Supernatural campaign, even using the original Heroes Unlimited rules, simply reskinned as psionic alien abilities. But more importantly, you have everything you want for Beyond the Supernatural storytelling. You've got a global conspiracy. You've got alien visitors. You've got a diverse array of psychic or psychic-adjacent threats. One doesn't want a Beyond the Supernatural campaign to become too sci-fi. However, UFO lore is a skill in this game. It is a part of this game's setting, although, as we'll discuss in upcoming pages, it doesn't end up making much of an impression in the game's rules. There's no reason that an extended storyline couldn't focus on alien visitation, especially if it includes psychic material as well, and the Dark Tribunal aliens are perfect for that. There wouldn't be anything fun about finding yet another secret lizard man with the same powers in government after corporation after street gang as one tracks down a worldwide alien conspiracy. But taking on a supermodel, a spy, a cult leader, a crocodile, there's a lot of variety there. And I think that variety would help emphasize the feel that these alien infiltrators truly are everywhere. It could be anyone, which is just what you'd be going for in that sort of campaign. With that said, I've talked so long about the Dark Tribunal, I just have to move on. I've got to keep making progress through these pages. And speaking of progress, join me next time as we return to Beyond the Supernatural to discuss character advancement on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. The theme for the Z-Files is Lightless Dawn by Kevin MacLeod. Kevin MacLeod's music, used under a Creative Commons license, can be found at incompetech.filmmusic.io. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.